Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And, it's Friday because I recognize all the people that are here and I'm up early. But it's worth it because I get to hang out with awesome people who have been charged with making me smile and laugh all morning. So, you know, no pressure. And speaking of Marty, how are you today?
Well, we had a little pre-show discussion. I'm doing good. Lots of energy because it's soup day in my house where I don't have to go into the office. I can work here and I can alternate between working and cooking and getting things going. So make a big batch of soup for the week and gonna roast a turkey so we can have that for dinner tonight and other things in the week. So it's fun. I enjoy cooking. So it's soup day.
That's awesome. And that's a clear indication we are in the United States, or at least you are, because you're gonna roast a turkey.
Yeah.
That's an American thing right
that
there.
That is definitely an American thing.
Yep.
Why is it an American thing?
Turkeys aren't as much a thing in Europe. I mean, it's not that they don't exist, but it's just not such a big thing.
Oh, okay.
It's more chicken. Roast chicken here, quite common.
I was going to say, is there some prohibition on roasting turkeys elsewhere?
No, just a tariff.
Just a tariff. Okay.
25%, I understand.
No, 120, 146, I think.
You're welcome for me providing you with that straight line, Jeff. Yeah.
Chuck, you set him up and I knock him out of the park for you.
For all those interested in Europe getting a turkey, they've imposed a tariff. So that's really going to hurt us, I think.
Yeah. But around here, if you're paying attention, you could probably snag a turkey on your own. Of course, you're going to have to get it, kill it, clean it, and then cook it. But they're all around out here.
Hmm.
Yep.
Fascinating.
Yeah. They're dumb but fast, because we have a lot here too, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Dumb, fast, and mean.
And yes.
Yeah. And they're good crashing in the glass windows too.
Yeah. Yeah, that there's a trail that that I like outside Boulder, and you keep a lookout the whole time. And most people think, well, sure, because you're in the mountains and wildlife, you don't want mountain lions to attack you, whatever. I'm never worried about the mountain lions, but there's a flock of turkeys out there, and they are just mean little shits, and are big. They're big. So when you're coming around one of the bends and you see that big turkey group off to the side, you have a choice to make. Do you leave the trail and give them a very wide berth, or you just turn around and go back? Because they're close enough to the trail that if you stay on the trail, they assume that you're a threat, and now all of a sudden you're getting attacked by a turkey gang. Yeah. Anyhow, speaking of turkey gangs, Chuck, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. I don't know how to take that, but I'll...
I panicked. I needed a segue, and all I had was turkeys.
As long as you don't ask me for my giblets, I'm fine.
I would only do that after a few drinks.
Okay, that's good. That cracked Dave up.
Giblet, not gimlet, Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh, well... Tomato, tomato. Okay, and that's this week's show. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Another day off this week for the long holidays coming up here in the U.S. And hopefully it warms a little bit. It's not going to, I don't think, but we'll have a good, nice, long weekend and ready to talk some more tech.
Awesome. Well, Dave, if you want a really warm holiday weekend, just come on out here. I believe down here where I am, we're hitting 80 And it's going to be around that through the whole weekend.
Must be nice. Only 60.
Bring your sunscreen.
Yep.
Yep. excuse me. Speaking of holiday weekends, Patrice, how are you?
It's not a holiday weekend here, but yeah.
But you're in Europe.
I'm in Europe.
Every weekend was a holiday weekend.
Yeah, I wish. We do actually have a public holiday next week, I think on Thursday. So it will be a long weekend again with like a window day, bridging day, whatever. No, I'm okay. It's like, it's been, I called it bug week earlier. It's been like bugs all over the place, like actual bugs, like viruses and bugs in processes and bugs in software and whatever, like all over.
Yeah.
It's not been a boring week. Definitely not.
Yeah, I prefer exciting weeks when it's fun exciting.
Yes. Some yes. of it was fun, some of it was not so. It's never a good morning when you're like when you wake up and your Apple Watch tells you, "Oh, 4 out of 5 vitals were kind of out of the normal range." And I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, I kind of knew that because I was like not feeling great the evening before and I was like I went to bed at like 9 p.m., which or 8:30 or something, which is not what I usually do. I know for other people that might be normal times, but not for me. Apparently my body just fought it overnight. Like I slept for 10 hours and I was okay-ish the next morning. So it's really interesting. I could you see that. So all of that is to say, wear your Apple Watch and wear it when you're sleeping. It will actually tell you a lot about what's going on. Like I literally could see it. Like my temperature was also spiking a little bit, and my like breathing respiratory rate was up and whatever. And then overnight it went down. So it's like, okay, it kind of fought everything, and then it was like, okay, now it's good. And went back to normal. So interesting.
Okay. Well, it went back to normal.
Yeah, interesting. Awesome. Yeah, I'm not 100% yet, but I'm not far off. So yay, immune system.
Hooray for immune system. All right. So in the chat, the third is saying that the best holiday is cheese rolling day.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Said to Google it. And yes. So I did.
Yes.
And
no, it's fun. It's fun. Yeah. I've never been, but I've seen tons and tons and tons of videos, and it looks like a ton of fun.
You know, I'm looking at this and well, I'm thinking, wow, I never would have thought to make an event like this.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this seems totally reasonable for an event. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, I come from where we have Frozen Dead Guy Day. And there are parades and bands and all these different contests, and it's wonderful. So if you're interested in that, so the third, I'm returning the cheese rolling favor to you. Go ahead and Google Frozen Dead Guy Days, and you'll just be absolutely delighted. It started in Nederland, Colorado, which is a mountain town.
Not the Netherlands. I think
not the Netherlands, Nederland. And it has since, like in the last year or two, moved to Estes Park.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I hear is a really cool town.
It's a really cool town, and it's very pretty. And mm-hmm.
Just doesn't have an airport anymore. But
no, it's a golf course. but a couple of the, well, actually, I'd say Highway 34. If you're coming in from the east side of town, you could land on Highway 34.
Yeah, please don't.
Because it's straight enough and long enough.
Yeah, still don't.
But yeah, please don't.
Still don't.
Not
sure even, I don't know what the laws are like in Colorado, but I would assume it's also not legal to do that, unless it's an emergency. But
yeah, for emergencies.
Yeah, emergency, sure. Anything is for a game. It's like, as long as you get it down safely and nobody gets hurt, like, who cares?
Right. And this time of year, inside joke for Estes Park, you're still going to have to work around the cones and the painting trucks. It's every spring they have to resurface major roads,
winter,
because mountains in Colorado, especially for a tourist town. So you have a repaving, and then you have to do the painting, and so you have to get it all done before Memorial Day, because that's when the tourist season really kicks off.
Yeah.
So for like 2 months before Memorial Day, it's just a nightmare trying to get into and around town, because the major thoroughfares are under maintenance.
No, it's not like that. It's actually this is like a game for the locals. Well, like, hey, like you're gonna have fun for 2 months, and you're gonna like do like an obstacle course and stuff, right? Some entertainment.
Okay, I can see that. It's, yeah, okay. And there's a lot of people that drive around up there that that clearly are not winning at the game.
Well, someone has to lose, so others can win.
That's right. The third is saying that Frozen Dead Guy Days looks a little safer than the cheese rolling.
Probably, yes.
Probably. It's, well, when it was in Netherlands, they had a contest. It was like a diving contest, but you need to make the biggest splashes. And so you're jumping into the little reservoir that's up there. And it's early enough in the season that there have been years where they had to go and cut through the ice so that there's a space big enough for people to jump into the water.
Oh my God.
Even if it's not iced over, it is cold. The water is going to be barely above freezing.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, but given the other things that Colorado enjoys, it's probably not a problem.
It's not a problem. Yep.
You can take that now however you want.
That's fair. Yep.
I just looked at the cheese rolling video. I mean, it's no wonder you people have socialized medicine. Okay. My God, that looks like suicide.
I think this comes from a time when that wasn't a thing. So I guess it was a way to kind of sort people into groups, like the
survival
people
of the fittest.
Exactly.
Thinning of the herd.
Yep.
Yeah, it's another reason to check for ticks. I think at the end of it, they should have.
Yes.
Should have rolling down the hill like that.
These days, you should do that anyway.
Yep. All right. I guess it's time for a little bit of news. And before we dive into all the news, I want to point out that Dave is wonderfully generous. So thank you, Dave, for letting us crib from In Touch with iOS's show notes from last night. And so that's where pretty much everything is going to come from for his stories today. However,
the show's published already, so.
Excuse me. There is a story that came out this morning. Uh-oh. that we kind of have to talk about, even though we do try and avoid politics.
It's impossible these days, to be honest.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay. So here's the news that came out early this morning, U.S. time. So that would be late morning ish,
early
afternoon-ish UK time. And this is that Donald Trump is apparently now really annoyed that Apple is not making iPhones in the United States. And it seems that the efforts that Tim Cook has made over the years to appease Trump, it's not working now. Because Trump is saying, hey, you got to start making iPhones in the U.S. or we're slapping a 25% tariff on iPhones. And so we have a few problems here. Not the least of which is that it's actually impossible to make iPhones in the United States right now. Yep. And there literally is no infrastructure or expertise in this country to make iPhones. And so
I'm going to disagree with you. You could probably make an iPhone in probably in a year or two. One. Or
okay,
two,
that's fair.
Like a couple, maybe, like that you could sell. But one, nobody would be able to buy them because they would be stupid expensive. And you couldn't make them in the scale that you would need to. So who would get that iPhone? It's like Trump gets one, Tim gets one, Jeff gets one, and then we're done.
And then we're done. Yeah. All right. So that's fair. So what I'm saying is accurate with the caveat that I'm talking about making iPhones on the scale that Apple needs to produce them. There is no infrastructure for that. And I've been saying for a while that if Apple wanted to do that, we're looking at a 10-year plan. And even once you get to the end of the 10 years where you can actually ramp up production, you still don't have the people that you need that can actually do this.
See, for me, the question is a very simple one, and it's independent of politics. I can understand, and it's generally any country in the world, I can understand arguments for should we be dependent on other countries for the things that we want. I would say sensible question at least to ask. Whatever answer you get for that, you can, like, one way or another, like, you can argue. But the more important question is, what do you want your people to work on? What is the biggest value that your country and your people can provide? And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure producing iPhones is that. Like, take the time, not just the money, the investment in time, in skills, and like the people who have to work in factories and all of that. And think about what we could do with that time, like in higher skilled labor.
Mm-hmm.
But we're scaring all the higher skilled labor off, and we're scaring all the higher skilled labor out of higher education in the U.S. It's kind of crazy. I've got a solution to the problem, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Shut it down.
You know how you get... You know how you get on a box, it says... So here's what I think the printing of the next iPhone box should say. Built in India, designed in Cupertino, tariffed in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that would be fun. I love it.
I love that. That would be funny. Yeah. No, it's as I said, it's the question is always like you have only so many people and so many hours available, and you can invest them however you want. And there are arguments to say maybe we should do more within insert whatever country. It's not a specific US problem. Europe has the same discussion right now. But you always have to balance that against, okay, what else could we do if we had the time available?
Yeah. When he does these things, it's a demonstration of why he had 7 companies go bankrupt. He has no casinos. Business sense. Casinos.
Yeah, exactly. You have to understand politics, business, economy, like a lot of things to understand why this is not the best idea. It's not going to happen. I mean, that's at the end of the day, you can ask for whatever you want as a president, right? You can say whatever you want to ask for, as proven right now. But at some point, you also have to be realistic and say, like, maybe long term, that is something I want. What can I do to get there? Right? If I want to have that happen, if I want Apple and all the other companies, not just Apple, like producing their gadgets in country, like, could be a legitimate thing I want, right? What can I do as a government to get there? Slapping tariffs on companies and saying, well, you should produce here, is not going to work. It's not going to be a solution. It's just going to make everything more expensive. So maybe investing in education, for example, and saying, okay, we should maybe get the training and the people, like, available, like, have the training for the people that we could even produce it, and then maybe we should build factories and all of that, and like maybe some research that we should pay for and stuff like that. Make it attractive for people to want those jobs. Sounds crazy, right?
Yeah, we just need Foxconn to. Yeah, we just need Foxconn to start building.
Empty factories? No.
Factories in the United States. Wait a minute. Foxconn is a Chinese company.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah.
And the factory they did build in the United States ended up being a boondoggle.
Yeah.
Where that ultimately it was used to make face masks.
Yes. Yeah. And there is companies in the US that are producing stuff, right? Corning, for example, is producing some, I mean, not just the IP, but also some of the glass in the US. There is chips that are being produced in the US that end up in the iPhone. So it's not that it's not happening. And maybe those are the things you should then see how you can expand on and say, okay, like, hey, can we like improve on that, make it bigger, make it more, whatever. Like there is legitimate ways to do this. It's just slapping a tariff on it and saying go do it looks nice on paper.
Chuck, I can tell you have thoughts.
Yes, a soapbox, I think.
Well, no, I have thoughts, and so I'm going to take it from two different angles, with almost two different hats on. The first hat is, of course, this is not a good idea. It's you already have all explained why it's A, not possible at this point, why B, it's not a good idea. And I agree with all of those. But I'm going to put my other hat on and say, let's talk about this in 2 to 4 weeks. Okay, because one of Trump's strategies, one of his methods of operation is that he makes these outrageous, crazy things as bargaining chips or as, you know, proposals or something, and then has a tendency to go back down and say, well, okay, so we're going to change this. Think about the Chinese super tariff and, you know, how that backed down. It didn't back down the whole way, but it backed down so that all of a sudden people got comfortable with it, or a lot more comfortable. And so I think that we sometimes certain things like this, we all do knee-jerk reactions and get up in arms. And it's like, that's not the way the guy operates. You know, he has a very particular negotiating strategy. I've seen it before, you know, and that's in the other part of my life. So I recognize it. And I don't take it seriously until 3, 4, 5 weeks out. Patrice, I mean, you know, his advisors are going to get to him, because look, let's spin it yet another way. Apple is an ungodly large employer of people in the United States.
In the US, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. And so, you know, this has the potential to do a lot of damage, not just to the company, but to individuals. And that's where I think that some of the other representatives and some of his advisors may get him off to the side and say, hey, you know, what are you doing? Because you're just going to tick more people off and you're not going to help anybody with anything. So I'm going to watchfully wait on this one.
No, I'm with you. And I mean, Apple is also, I think the US is still the biggest market for Apple. I mean, not by money technically, because like the rest of the world is more than the US these days. I think Europe is at least in revenue, I think close to the US, but in market share and in importance for Apple as a company. And I mean, Apple is a US company. Like if you wanted to buy a smartphone from Apple, what US company could you pick?
Nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you would lose the popular like goodwill pretty quickly if iPhones and Apple gear were to be way more expensive. I mean, let alone that everything else would also be expensive because everything comes from somewhere else.
I think now, disclaimer here, I have not run numbers myself, so what do I know? But I'm guessing it would actually be less expensive for Apple to just increase the price of iPhones 25% and just live with the tariff than it would be to move iPhone manufacturing into the United States, where now we're looking at like base price $2,500 iPhones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would Apple still sell some? Yeah. Some people will buy.
It would open up a really nice gray market.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dave, you've been quiet. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, it's very disheartening of this whole thing. And I don't want to go on the bandwagon about, or not the bandwagon, a rant for about this whole thing with Trump. But I agree that pretty much everybody was what everybody said. It's not going to be something that Apple can pull off like, you know, tomorrow. It just isn't going to happen. And he has no concept of anything. All that he wants to do is, you know, throw these tariffs out. Like you said, bargaining chips and getting people to step down. I mean, and unfortunately, some people are giving in because it is a big problem, you know, for many countries. If you start doing this, it's going to be a problem with, you know, look with Canada. It happened to Canada and look into Mexico and they're our neighbors. So,
yeah, and they didn't care.
They didn't care. Yeah, they're not even bothering with it. You know, just like, yeah, he wanted to just make like China. Canada.
It's like, sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, just like he wanted to make Canada our 51st state, so that's a whole other story. But
it's a different story, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't see it. Apple's not in a position to be able to just open up a factory here and not have the technical know-how, knowledge of workers that they have to do this work. It's just not going to happen.
Especially with the immigration policies as they are. Like, you sure could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Get open up the market and simply say, hey, like 200,000 Chinese people. I mean, this is satire now, but I'm like, hey, 200,000 Chinese people want to come to the US and build iPhones here? Yeah, sure. Or a million? I don't know how many it takes, to be honest. I mean, that's the stupidest idea ever, but you could do that, right?
Yeah, the old joke about it takes a village. Well, that's a literal statement for iPhone production. Except in this case, it's a whole town. All right, so let's talk about something else and see if we can get Chuck riled up. But first, Chuck, I have to say, you were incredibly well measured through that discussion.
Oh, yes.
You know, again, in 3, 4, or 5 weeks, you know, maybe I can be more animated, but I just. This is one of those, especially based on his past performance, that I can't get excited over because, yeah, the first thing you do is your blood pressure spikes. And then it's like, no, wait a minute. This is Trump. You know, this is the guy that does the art of the deal. And this is his way of getting things and negotiating. Mm-hmm. So
over time,
we will see.
I thought you would say something else. Like, at first your blood pressure spikes, and then you realize that you don't have health care.
Yeah. And then your blood pressure spikes because now you have the stress of that, too. Okay, so before we move on, for everyone that's been following along with that part of the discussion, these tariffs would apply only to iPhones sold in the U.S. Trump can't apply tariffs to phones that are manufactured outside the U.S. and sold outside the U.S.
But here's the but.
Mm-hmm.
Apple's pricing is, for the most part, as far as we know, at least, I mean, we don't know how exactly it happens in the background, but it's from, like, let's say, evidenced by what I've seen here in Europe happen, set based on the U.S. price. It's always the U.S. price, of course, VAT added, and some extra on top for Apple. Like, I mean, the iPhones here are always, I want to say $100, $150, $200 more expensive not including VAT, not including taxes, than in the US. Some of it is probably exchange legal rooms and whatever, like some they have to hedge for that a little bit, but some of it is probably just, well, because we can. So I wouldn't put it past Apple to say, hey, if we have to raise the price in the US and we want to make it look like it's not before because of tariffs, then we're just going to raise the price for the rest of the world too.
Or they could do the ballsy move and say, here's what the iPhone costs, but in the United States, it's an additional whatever.
25% tax.
Like totally call out the tariff.
Yeah. And I mean, we have a tariff here as well. It's called VAT and it's 20%, just saying.
Mm. Yeah, well, and we have sales tax here.
Yeah, but it's not 20%.
No.
Getting close.
Yeah, it's getting close. Yeah. That is true. That is true, yes. And it's also, to be fair, not everywhere in Europe it's 20%. Austria is 20%. Germany is, I think, 16%. So it depends.
Yeah. Okay, next story.
Yeah.
Fortnite's back in the App Store, and it's already a chart topper.
Well, that's not a surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, how much of that is paid by Fortnite, just pushing the downloads?
Okay, fair question.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of predictable, right, that this would happen. I mean, like, after the judge's decision, and Fortnite being very pushy and saying, oh, we want to put back in, like, well, now we can, right? And kind of playing the game they've been playing all along, which I hate, but okay. I mean, it was kind of Apple tried their best to not do that. But at the end of the day, I think it was even the judge who pushed a little bit and said, okay, you should really think about that. And Apple said, okay. And they came to an agreement somewhat with Epic, and it's like joint statement to the judge to say, yeah, okay, we figured it out. They can get back in for now.
Yeah, of course, Apple's still moving forward with their appeals.
Exactly. And if that goes through, then maybe they're out again. Or they comply, but they're not coming.
Yeah, I think Apple is more into the malicious compliance attitude with with cases like this.
Yeah. And I mean, I have my problems with Fortnite, but I also have my problems with Apple in this case. I think this case specifically, at this point, I don't think there is a winner. Apple's not looking very good, and Epic never did, so.
Yep. Chuck, you have thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Hope so.
I've said this before, and I've said it again. Sweeney has manipulated this whole thing in such, and he's done a masterful job of it. You know, it's like, you know, okay, good job, you know, because he precipitated the crisis. Then he leveraged the crisis in what was clearly a premeditated lawsuit, and he has played this out. And my greatest disappointment is that the judge has not seen through this, and continues to side with Sweeney and not recognize that he's manipulated the situation and he's manipulating her. And you know whether Apple is faultless or not, that's a whole other discussion. But when you look at this, you know, and I'm shocked at the tech press being totally hoodwinked on this and trying to paint up Apple as the bad guy. I don't know if they've just been waiting for Apple to stumble and bad news sells, so therefore Apple is doomed. But it just, you know, maybe so, Patrice. I don't know. It just really is. It makes me disappointed in the tech press because I thought they were just a little smarter. Mm-hmm. And a little more perceptive.
Nope.
And, you know, it just, all this does is embolden Sweeney to just continue his manipulations.
Yes.
And that's,
and,
you know,
yeah.
And what
Spotify
point somebody
in their wings, right? I mean, the other party in this whole thing. And of course, Microsoft piles on because they're.
Exactly. Yes. took it right out of my mouth, Patrice. Yeah. So, you know, right. So this is what happens when, you know, you let something like this go. And again, we can talk about Apple's side of it, but when you look at just how this happened and where it started, it was all manufactured, and everybody bought into the con.
I'm not sure I agree here. I mean, yes, on the part of everything you said about Epic. But at the end of the day, it was also Apple's behavior that kind of made it worse.
It was Apple's behavior that made it worse because they were painted up as having made it worse. I still,
they did,
you know,
what
look,
they did.
Well, they did what they did, but so the one thing that we don't have access to is what the attorneys told them they could do. Because one thing Apple is really good at it is taking it right up to the line, but they very seldom cross over. Okay, think about the Irish tax situation. You know, they played the game. You make the rules, we'll play the game. They played the game. When the rules changed, they changed.
But the instead, Irish tax situation is different.
I don't think so, Patrice. Because how?
I mean, the Irish tax situation was a clear legal framework, and they figured out a way to use that framework to their advantage. That is a different situation. I mean, it changed. They changed. Like the Apple was actually, they created the scheme and they changed the scheme when they had to. And the whole thing about, oh, should they now pay extra taxes or not, was more a, let's say, EU problem with Ireland mostly, not with, which I still disagree with what was decided, but okay, that's done. But in this case, I mean, it was very clear that Apple was already kind of being challenged on their monopoly status. And was already under a microscope, not just in the US, but all over the world. And Apple's decision here to do what they did, you can question. I mean, as you said, we don't know what the lawyers said, but we also don't know whether the lawyers told the like the board members, especially Tim Cook and Luca Maestri, what was okay and what wasn't, and what they recommended doing, and Apple board just decided to not do that or to go harder line that, yeah, okay, you could try, but maybe it wasn't recommended. We don't know that. That's true. But the facts are, from the outside perspective at least, it doesn't make them look very good how they did it.
Are you talking about the 27%, Patrice?
The 27%, all the rule changes, how they did it. And this goes beyond that, this one case. This goes to how they did it in Europe. Like, this is a pattern in Apple. And goes back probably a very long time. A structure of entitlement that maybe was okay. Yes, I think so. That maybe was okay at some point, and they're totally 100% entitled to certain things. They have done some really cool stuff and have created a lot of things, and they are entitled to like get the benefits from it. But there's a line. And the 27% is one example of that. Where it's like they were very aware of how arbitrary that was and how that what that would mean at the end, and they still did it, and that's the problem. As I said, I don't think Apple is in a very good public perception position right now because of that, and it has nothing to do with Epic at the end. I mean, Epic did their own shit, and I think they should get slapped for that, but looks like they are not.
Well, you're the one that started out by saying, you know, has the Fortnite been pumped up on the App Store by Fortnite itself? You know, yes. I mean, that's I just so. It, you know. And so I can't agree with you on the entitlement thing. You know, Apple set its rules, and now everyone has suddenly decided it was wonderful all this time that everybody's been making money, and Fortnite included. And now all of a sudden, oh, you know what? We're paying these guys too much. Even though they created the platform, they created the App Store, they manage the App Store,
yeah,
they maintain the App Store, you know, but we're paying them too much.
No, but I mean that's exactly the point. I mean there's two parts to that. One, things you do when you are a, let's say, smaller company, when you are in a competition situation, are not that are totally legal and fine to do when you're in that situation, are not the same when you're approaching, or you are actually, usually you should have crossed the line to a monopoly. And that's what was decided here, that the judge said, yes, you are a monopoly in that narrow definition, and so it's not okay what you're doing. And the second part was, Apple was, I mean, it was not about is it 27%, is it 15%, is it 19%. The expectation was you set a reasonable price based on facts. You say, this is what it's costing us to do all of these things that you just mentioned, and because and of course some profit margin on top is, I think, also okay, but like this is what it should, like what it should be. Maybe that was 25% or 27%, but you should, like, it should be based on, okay, real facts, and not just we wanted 30% because we picked we wanted 27% because we picked 30 before, and we want 3% less for the credit card charge, which is also, by the way, not true. That was the problem. So no, it's not that.
You're doing it, I'm doing it, everybody's doing it. We are all
Well,
talking
Marty
through
and
our
Dave
hat.
aren't doing it yet. They've been eating popcorn watching you two go back and
Yeah.
forth.
Well,
Maybe Dave is playing Fortnite
That's my guess.
If he is, then you're the part of the problem, Dave.
Part of the
Yeah,
problem?
I've
I'm
never
the
played it.
whole problem.
Yes, you're the whole
I
problem.
guess
Wow, okay.
I will. This is the last thing I'll say on it, but we're all talking through our hats, me included, because and I hear people say, oh, well, it doesn't cost Apple to run that much to run that. We have no idea
No.
exactly what it cost Apple to run it, and so we're not qualified
But I
to
also
comment
didn't say that,
on.
Chuck. Sorry to interrupt you. I didn't say that. I didn't say it should be 20%, it should be 5%, it should be 3%. That was never the question. The question was Apple, who knows what it what the costs are and where the money goes. They should be able to do that to the judge and simply say, look, this is the breakdown. This is maybe our profit margin on top because that's totally fine. So this is a reasonable amount, right? It's not on us to say that. That's it. I don't know. Maybe it's 65%. Like, okay. But the third we know, and that we know from past emails and stuff, the 30% was a purely random number. They said, oh, 30% sounds good. Steve Jobs selected that.
Yeah, back
Yeah,
when, well,
back in the day. Yeah, as I said, like they can, if they, if they had, and it's apparently also the judge's reason, if they had come back and said, whatever, 26.5% is the right number because here's the breakdown of our costs and the profit margin of whatever 40% reasonable amount on top. So this is 26.5% from every transaction. Yeah, okay, but they said, no, it's 27% because it's 30 minus 3. And
There
3%
you
is
go.
the average credit card. That was their reasoning. Is that does that make sense? I don't think so. Because they didn't want to talk about what it is internally.
Of course not.
Yeah, but
Of course not. You don't advertise what you pay for your home or your car or how much you spend on your credit card. Neither do I. No, nobody with any sense
we
does.
talk about that No, but it's but in a legal court case where you're already on the back foot and where the perception is already that you're taking advantage and you're using your monopoly and like you're really like it's not how you should do things, and clearly it's not how you should do things because it backfired.
We agree to disagree.
Sure.
Jeff, next story.
Next story.
All right, fair, because I do want to make sure we have time for cool things.
Okay.
But before we hit cool things, Patrice, you are so good at telling people about the live chat and how that works. Would you mind doing that?
Absolutely don't mind doing that. So, really short, we have a really cool live stream system. It's at live.britishtechnetwork.com. You just go there when we're recording live. It's like YouTube or one of the other platforms. It's like the video on the left, the chat on the right. You can watch us do the thing. Like if you want to see how the kebab is made. I don't know. I didn't want to say sausage. So kebab is made. It's like, why not? yeah. If you want to see us, watch us do that. And you can start typing, like literally like that. It generates really funny, random names for everybody. So it's like, I don't know, what did we have here? Jolly Aria, for example, we got earlier. So generates really funny random names, but you can change them. You just hit the purple button.
Blissful McNulty.
Oh, I love that.
Blissful McNulty, yes.
I love that.
That's a great one.
We should invite Scott McNulty then. up top, purple button, change name, and you can be whatever you want, like the third, for example. Well, the third is taken, so you can't be that. We already have a third, or a Jeff.
But you could be the fourth.
You could be the fourth or the first, actually, if you wanted to. Yeah. So anyway, that's it. Like Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, we usually record this radio show, and also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, where we record the big show, when we talk about non-Apple-y things. And yesterday we had the great honor of having the actual host of the show back, because Ewan was there. Couldn't do it today. He was something with his daughter, but he promised he would join more often. So you might get to see him at some point. We do have a transcript of all the chat things. It's live. So like literally as Jeff posted, like for example, the link to the Fortnite story, it showed up on our website. The third is saying there's only one of him. Yes. And you would actually see that message also live right now if you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then select today's date, which would be May 23rd, 2023. Any other date you select on calendar, you will see what happened at that day in the chat. That's how easy it is.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. Okay, let's do some cool things. So who has the first cool thing? And everyone's like, oh, crap, I forgot about all cool things.
No, I just...
But that would actually be Chuck.
I think I'm in first, yeah.
You are.
So a friend of mine told me about this movie that's available on Prime, Amazon Prime, and they said they hated it, but that I would love it, which they were right. Well, I don't know if they were right about hating it, but I really thoroughly enjoyed this. And, you know, it's tough to talk about a movie without giving away spoilers. But I'm going to say that it starts out with an organization investigating online predators, and it goes from there. And it's not salacious or anything like that, at least not by my standards anyway. And it involves AI. It involves, you know, some of the concepts we are talking about now in real life. And that's as far as I want to go. You can read the description of it if you're interested. But I felt like this was a good use of my time, and I usually don't watch things that somebody recommends, but the description looked intriguing enough, and I felt like it was thoroughly enjoyable for me. I think that with a tech-oriented audience like this, it would be enjoyable for you folks. So go forth and check it out. It's called The Artifice Girl.
The Artifice Girl, and it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Okay.
You cool. Gotta rent or buy it, right?
Jack doesn't watch what others recommend. Wow, that's a surprise. I thought you would watch all the crazy stuff that we've recommended to you.
Patrice, what is with you today? I mean, I thought you said all the vitals were back to normal, man.
No, I'm always like
maybe
that.
This is normal.
Exactly, normal. Well, it's normal.
Boy, take it, Jeff. Good one.
Awesome. Okay, so Patrice, your turn.
So mine is the thing that allows you to see us all live stream right now, which is my M4 MacBook Pro, because I got one this week, ordered it a week and a half ago, had a little drama with getting it because it was supposed to be delivered this week, and then it showed up on Friday when I was still traveling. And, you know, UPS, I think it's the same crap in the US where it like, oh, we couldn't find you. I'm like, yeah, I'm not at home. Oh, it was delivered. Where? No information. Where? Just
yeah.
Delivered. It's like, and I checked in the app, and I checked on Apple's side, and for the link to their website, nowhere. And then I locked in, and somehow, somewhere, some way, you could see where it was delivered. And it was delivered to a shop like down the street. I'm like, oh, cool. Would have been good to know that.
That would have been super handy.
Yeah, so I picked it up on Saturday. So it was all good.
Nice.
So I have it. It's an M4 Max. It is crazy fast. I had an M1 Max before, so no slouch. But not gonna lie, last night, the processing the big showdown took about, I want to say, 13 minutes maybe, and usually takes about half an hour. Just like reducing the file size down, wow. Doing all the different files and all of that. So it was like way faster. It didn't even use all the CPU power. Like it was like 15% it didn't even use. So I don't know why FFmpeg is not using it, but it didn't. So yeah, it's, and also the Retro Rewatch, really fast to export from the apps and so on. So definitely worth it. I was kind of questioning it, like, should I buy it? It's like $5,000. Is that worth it? I think it is.
It was worth it.
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, it's been many years, so it's probably time.
Awesome. Very cool.
And it's black. I mean, since Apple doesn't do a pink, I went with black.
Nice. I do like their black and dark gray colors. Yes.
Yeah, it does really look cool.
Awesome. Okay, and let's see, Dave, looks like it's your turn.
All right, I've got another backpack I found here. This is a laptop backpack I've been buying for work for people, and it's not a bad little laptop for the backpack for a price. It's slim, it's durable, it's got all kinds of normal stuff on it. It has the built-in, you can put a battery in your backpack, and so you can charge your phone from outside of it. And lots of great pockets, and really cheap. There's a coupon where $8 off, and it's only
$21.99.
Yeah. And I was skeptical at first.
It's like a quarter of a price of a Dell like backpack, yeah. But it's also crappy.
It's not that bad, actually. I mean,
yeah.
And interesting how they ship it. They ship it all in plastic, and it's folded over, so to make it easier to ship too, which was good, because you know, trying to store those are always hard too.
Yeah, it's like vacuum package, yeah. Right?
And, but they actually fold the backpack over, and it just pops right back up, and it's good. And you got a lot of variety of colors. There's even a pink one for you.
Nice.
It's a little more expensive on the other colors, but the black one is the one that's the cheapest price. But why not?
I need another backpack,
Yeah, I usually avoid backpacks because I'm kind of a broad-shouldered guy. Yep. Does this work sizing-wise? If you've
I had it on my back and I tried it, and it adjusts very nicely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool.
It does look really good.
There's your pink one, Patrice.
Yeah.
There's pink one.
I saw it.
Nice.
And it has a luggage strap. Nice.
So it's got a little secret pocket on the back too. You can put your passport and stuff in it.
Pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Cheap backpack. Why not?
Mm. Nice. Okay, Marty, it's your turn now.
My cool thing is Fortnite's back in the the Apple Store. I just wanted to say that once. Fortnite being back in the App Store means that it's an app that I will never buy, which is great. I mean, because there's so much in the App Store that I want to buy. Actually, my cool thing is only Office. I woke up in the middle of the night and sat up and was screaming. I was having a nightmare. And I don't know if you've had this experience before, but I was wondering what triggered that. And then I got up later in the morning and checked my messages, and Microsoft had again billed me annually for Microsoft Office. And I realized that was the moment I woke up screaming in the middle of the night. And so I'm suggesting only Office, and I saw this somewhere. It has a mobile app for it, and it also has it has all the documents, and then it has some added things that you, if you want to purchase, like server kinds of things that you can do with the documents. It seems really pretty cool. I've put it on my desktop and taken the Microsoft product icons off of my menu bar. So I can't as easily, I can start producing things with this and really kind of give it a field test. But it's $0, absolutely free. You can go to the website onlyoffice.com and see what you can do with it. I know there's LibreOffice and there's some other kind of free suites that are out there that are open source, and but I'm going to try this one out.
As far as I know, LibreOffice is actually a fork of OnlyOffice originally. As far as I remember, at least, something like that. They're somehow related, but I've used OnlyOffice like a long, long, long time ago, and until I did get a Microsoft subscription, it's really good. Highly recommend it.
Awesome.
It's probably way better now than it was back when I was using it, and even then it was really, really good.
Thanks.
All right. And okay, so then I guess that means it is my turn. And
So, what Lego thing did you get now?
okay, here's the crazy thing. I'm not bringing Lego today.
Are you sick, Jeff?
I am. I feel kind of queasy. No, I'm bringing a game, iPhone, iPad, and Apple TV. Mini Motorways. And it's an Apple Arcade game. And the description, it's going to sound like this is a very high stress thing, because what you have to do is build roads in a town that's growing. And get traffic to flow, and your objective is to be able to efficiently get the different cars to their locations to get points. And so, as the town grows, you have to build more roads, modify the roads you have, and control the traffic flow. And it's a surprisingly soothing puzzle game. I was not expecting that, but it's super fun. And
Is that like Mini Metro? Is that the same people, maybe even? Looks very much like it.
it might be it's Dinosaur Polo Club. I don't know who makes Mini Metro,
I don't know, but
but
it looks really cool. I've
yeah
wasted
I
like whatever, days,
yeah it,
hours.
it
Yeah,
in
Mini
the here
Metro
it
is
says
not
it's
that.
the same.
Yes,
Says it's
cool.
Mini Metro, yeah, by the same
Nice.
developer.
Okay, I'll
Okay.
definitely try that.
It's, I mean, it's pretty basic, and but yeah, it's fun. I'm really enjoying it, and it's a great mental diversion for me.
So, Ewan would say it's a great game for a pinch.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's not like you have to play to a certain point before you can stop. Just. You go, and then
You
when
literally
you're
go.
yeah, and then just switch out of the game, and when you go back to the game, it's waiting for you right where you were.
Yeah, you also don't have to like spend a lot of time on it. You can literally play for 30 seconds and be like, okay, I have to do something else, and it's fine.
Yeah. So I've got it on my iPhone, and I've enjoyed playing it there, but I found that I enjoy it more on my iPad mini because I like having a bigger screen.
Yeah, I can see that. You go until you go. I like that.
Developers, Dinosaur Polo Club.
Yeah. So that's it. Mini
Very cool.
Motorways. It's a fun little game and it's available on Apple Arcade.
Easy.
So with that, yeah. Let's call it a show and wrap this thing up. Marty, where can people find you?
Gencius, Gencius, at Mastodon.social, or also at Blue Sky. I'm going to try and keep it short. I'm on with Dave on Thursdays on In Touch with iOS. I'm on with Chuck on Tuesdays with Mac Voices. And then the other podcasts that I do, you can find at thepodtalk.net, including probably the one that I focus most on is Vision Profiles about the Apple Vision Pro and AR VR headsets.
Cool. Cool. Okay, Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you're going to find everything, all our regular content, plus the NAB interviews that are coming out, plus the Road to Mac Stock interviews that are coming out. Lots of great stuff happening. The live show is Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. I'm going to leave now and go be grumpy.
Chuck, he's our cute little grump. Yeah. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. I'm here on Fridays in Mastodon Blue Sky at DaveG65.
Awesome. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, almost every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Fridays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media things, the podcast, the projects, literally everything on my website. And thepatrice.com takes you there. And with Jeff, and I know I saw that Jeff had the mug and was using it for his tea, Retro Rewatch.
Oh, yes.
We have a show where we talk about retro TV shows, and that usually I have seen and Jeff has not. And we've been for a while on Stargate SG-1. We just published The Fifth Race. Really important episode. Some major stuff happens there that has long-term consequences. And something is discovered that changed also how we do the show. And you will have to listen to that one if you want to know more. And another cool episode is coming up, actually, when I edit, maybe tonight or on the weekend, Serpent's Song. We'll get to hear the Serpent's Song, whatever that is.
Awesome. Okay. And so, excuse me, before I give the usual where you can find me, it's been brought up, Mac Stock. Mac Stock is coming up July 11th, 12th, and 13th. Marty and Chuck and Dave and I will all be there, and we're going to have an awesome time. So everyone come and hang out with us and learn new things and make new friends and use the discount code JGAMMOT50 so you get what is it, half off?
$50.
$50.
$50.
$50 off. There we go. Yes. $50
don't
off.
Don't give Mike a heart attack.
No, $50.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given Mike a heart attack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He probably has a pretty big medical bill because of death.
Yeah. Yeah. I expect to hear about that. Anyhow, get $50 off each pass that you buy. And it's an awesome deal, and it's a really great, wonderful event, and we'll all be there except for Patrice. And but you will be with us in spirit.
I will be in spirit. Yeah. And in stickers.
And in stickers, that's right. Yes. Because this logo right here, we have stickers, and I will be bringing them to Mac Stock. So get your Retro Rewatch stickers.
I might have some too.
And yeah, if you're really, really nice, we might give away a mug. Just saying.
It could happen.
It could happen. Anything is possible.
It could happen.
Ooh, nice. I like that.
For those of you that are listening, Marty just held up the back of his phone, which has a list of things that you need to do on a daily basis. Eat, sleep, podcast, repeat. And that's from thepodtalk.net. Awesome. Okay. So, where to find me? Jay Gamut on the socials. I'm active on Mastodon and Pixel Fed and Blue Sky. Then shows, Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Dave's In Touch with iOS, The Big Show, and The Mac Show here on the British Tech Network. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and as Patrice has already pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. And with that, thank you to all of you for doing exactly what I tasked you with at the beginning of the show, which is to put a smile on my face. So that, thank you, seriously. You are all absolutely awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of you at MacStock in July. And Patrice, one of these days, I just simply need to book a flight and come over to see you.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, so we will make that happen at some point. And hey, everyone,
we could do a Vienna stock.
We could do Vienna stock. Yes, yes.
Or is that Mac Vienna? I don't know.
Remember, it's soup day. So when you talk about stock,
that's true. Oh my god, that's so true.
Yeah,
or summer stock.
Summer stock.
Mm. Yeah. Or we can talk about. We can talk about Trump's tariffs and what it's done to the stock market.
No, thank you. That sound, doesn't sound yummy. Now I need a drink. Yes.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't sound yummy. No. Hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, thanks for being here and putting up with me, but enjoying everyone else. All of you are absolutely awesome, and I'm so glad you're here. If you've been participating in the live chat, thank you. It's so great to do the real-time conversations with you, with all of you when we're doing the show. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later, thank you for being a part of this as well. You are all awesome. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Mueller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And I know I say it a lot, doesn't mean I should stop. Patrice, thanks for all the hard work that you put in to modernizing the live stream and the live chat. I know for you it's like, that was easy. But for the rest of us, it was like watching a magician, a sorceress at work. So with that, hey, thanks again, everyone. And don't forget to join us next Thursday for the Big Show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.